ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
And welcome back to ISKCON of Silicon Valley. Those of you who have joined us in the live studio audience and all who have joined us online from various places around the world, warm greetings. We're very happy to be back in the flow of Krishna Katha, the safest place to be anywhere in the three worlds. It's the most highly recommended process to come together and hear about Krishna. And as we accumulate the days in which we've spent hearing and chanting together, we build a bank account which is full of spiritual credits. Thank you. This is known as Punya Shravana Kirtana. Just by putting oneself in front of transcendental sound, one develops Punya. Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti. One may wonder, where do I get the impetus for performing devotional service? Oftentimes, the world is a place full of complexities, difficulties, challenges, and so forth. Nonetheless, we persevere in our service. And one might ask oneself, well, why do I do that? Why don't I just give up or become utterly distracted by the various items that are vying for my attention in life? And the reason is because we've developed this spiritual capital. And most of it comes by sadhu sangha. Even in previous lives, by coming in contact with sadhus, we have a kind of credit that we bring into the next life. You get to carry it over into the next life. That's very evident from Krishna's teachings in the Bhagavad Gita. And even in this life, those encounters that we have with devotees, especially when we're very pointedly hearing and chanting together, this gives us the wherewithal to do more hearing and chanting. Our capacity increases miraculously. So the process of Krishna consciousness develops as we go throughout our lifetime and taking the opportunities to have hearing and chanting sessions together. Today I'm going to read a little bit from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita because we're coming up on Sri Radhashtami. And the more we hear about it before Srimati Radharani appears, the purpose for her appearance, her service, her tattva, and so forth, the more we can actually appreciate it and relish it. Just like scientists, the more they study. In fact, anybody, any discipline, the more you study before you go to your teacher. If you study the chapter before your teacher explains it, you're, I know. You're a lot more into it. And similarly, when we take the time to investigate who we're worshiping and why, when we actually come to the point of a holy day, like the appearance day of Lord Krishna or Srimati Radharani, then our heart's really in it. Siddhanta bulya chitta na kara alash iha hoite lage shudrid manash. There's a way in which by discussing the philosophy, the tattva, and coming to Siddhanta, then we become fixed in mind and eager to hear even more. There's always profound effect from having kirtan, because it's the most recommended process in the age of Kali. Who can give a verse that says that?
Hari nama, hari nama, hari nameva kevalam kalau nasti eva, nasti eva, nasti eva gatir anyatha. So in this age of Kali, there's no other way than to chant the holy names of the Lord.
Chant the holy names, chant the holy names, chant the holy names. Okay. That's strong evidence, and it was given by Srila Ishvara Puri to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's passed it on to us. And we take it as an emphatic statement. And there are many, many more, including in the Bhagavatam. So we'll start with, you had another one. Please, let's not deprive you.
This is in the context of when Ajamila pastime comes and then Sukadeva Goswami instructs Maharaj Parikshit how this is Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnur Jagan Mangalam Amhasam Mahatam Api Kauravya Vidya Ekantik Niskritam. Means, my dear King, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is able to uproot even the reactions of the greatest sin. Therefore, the chanting of the Sankirtan movement is the most auspicious activity in the universe. Please try to understand this so that others will take it seriously.
It's a beautiful sounding verse too. Jagat Mangalam Amahatam. The like nice alliteration in it, isn't it? Jagat Mangalam Amahatam. Jagat Mangalam Amahatam Das. So this, I talked to my dear friend Javi today. He's at the Govardhan Eco Village. He called me from there. And this, this first kirtan, in fact, both of the, whatever two kirtans will dedicate to His Grace Javi Prabhu, the great kirtaniya, famous musician and pure devotee of the Lord, whose only purpose in life is to propagate Krishna consciousness all over the world. From the hearts of all the Vaishnavas here, please send him loving energy all the way to Govardhan Hospital. I have in my hands the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the most confidential and authoritative literature on Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And it's very important. There are many different schools of thought and various acharyas, and all of them are in harmony as much as there are many political parties, and they're all in harmony, right, about the welfare of the country. Ultimately, they may have different ways of looking at it. And once when Prabhupada asked about all the differences, he said they're not differences, they're varieties. But there's variety amongst living entities. Vishesha means there's speciality within the Lord's creation. In fact, there's no one living entity the same as another, nor is there one particle of sand the same as another. Everything is special in the Lord's creation. And certain living entities are attracted to various ways of worshiping and loving Krishna. And this is what Krishna likes, the variety of loving relationships that he has. Because he's an unlimited personality, he wants unlimited loving relationships. Eko Bahushyam. The Vedas say the one has become many. Why? Because he's Anandamayo Vyasat. He's Rasovaisaha, the origin of all rasa, or relationships. And also, he exists for himself and to experience and taste bliss. And that comes from his relationships with the living entities. So when living entities specialize due to their inherent nature in worshiping Krishna in a particular way, Krishna very much appreciates it. Of course, now we're hearing the kinds of loving exchanges that Krishna especially relishes. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared here in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita through the pen of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to teach us that mode of worship. And we're following in the footsteps of Kaviraj Goswami, in fact, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, coming down through our disciplic succession. And the rules and regulations that we practice are the ways in which we follow in the footsteps of these great souls. And by rendering such service and hearing in the association of advanced devotees, we begin to realize the special kind of relationship we have with Krishna. In general sense, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted, as we heard earlier in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, to express to the world the kind of loving service that he most relishes. It's mentioned at the outset of the book, Anarpita charim chirat karuna yavatirna kalau samarpayutam unato jvalarasam supakti shriyam hari purata sundara duti kadamb sandipitaha Sadarudaya kandare spuratu vasashi sachi nandanaha. So Sachi has appeared to fulfill what Krishna felt he had not given entirely. Krishna teaches in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam. Surrender unto me, I will reward you accordingly. Or surrender unto me, I'll deliver you from all sinful reactions. But he also sees that people are really absorbed in normal, very uninteresting to him, religious practices, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. And they perform religious duties simply so that they can get some material gain.
When one performs religious activities, what follows is material gain. It comes as a natural course because of the way the universe is set up. Jagnartak kamano nyatra loko yam karma bandana tarartam karma konteya muktasanga param rajet. Did I say it right? No. I missed the muktasanga samachara. So this mentions the nature of yajna and religious practice, that there's a benefit that comes, a fruit that comes. So those who live just for that fruit are not considered very well in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is not very much to the liking of Krishna. After all, people perform religious activities, but what are they interested in, really? They're interested in their own benefit. This, the Bhagavatam calls a kaitava, cheating. In fact, we find in the second verse of the Bhagavatam, dharma projita kaitavo tra paramo nirmat saranam satam. This cheating religion is kicked out. We don't want this. And the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, second chapter, is mentioned, dharmasya hyapavargasya nartor patoyapakalpate nartasya dharmaikantasya kamulabhaya hismitaha. That one should never perform dharma, religious activities, to get material gain. If you get material gain, then it shouldn't be used for sense gratification. It should be used to increase your service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Life's desire should never be aimed at sense gratification. It's a mistake. It's a diseased condition of life. Kama senendriya pritir labo jivete yavata jivasya tattva jignasya narto yascheha karma bihi. Life's desire should never be aimed at sense gratification. Rather, one should desire to live a healthy, balanced life just so that one can invest all of one's attention in hearing and chanting about the Lord, worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the material world is really a boring place for the one who's the source of all rasa relationships, because everyone's not paying attention. They're not really interested in God. In fact, as far as most modern religious processes, or cheating religious processes, we'll say the extreme, as it's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, those are practicing. We're down here, God's up there, you please stay there. And don't come down, because I want to do my thing here. I have my family, I have my money, I have my plans, and if God comes down, it's like, not right now, please. I'll visit you on the weekends, but don't get too close. This is the idea of cheating religion. It's you're not really putting your heart into it. You're not really living for God. In fact, even Eric Fromm recently, I was listening to an interview he had way back when TV was in black and white. And it was Mike Wallace when he was just young. And he was interviewing Eric Fromm, the great sociologist, psychologist. And he was mentioning how people nowadays, they perform religion like some kind of motivational process. He said there's the famous book that came out earlier that was How to Win Friends and Influence People. He said people, they form it as a social thing. They're not really interested in God. They're interested in their own embetterment or developing wealth and so forth. And Krishna's not so much interested in this, and his interest is in uplifting all the souls of the world. Therefore, he thinks, anarpita, for a long time I have not given the pure essence of religion, just so that they'll get it, so that they'll take it, and they'll be benefited. This was the external reason for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming to the world. Anarpita chirim chirat karinya viti kavanan yartina kalao samarpayitum unato jvalarasam sub. Bhakti Shriyam. He wanted to give that pure essence of loving service to the Lord, the Ujjvala Rasa, the most illuminated of all the loving relationships, the conjugal, as they say, as we've used this word, conjugal relationship, that of a lover and beloved, which is so intense. Of course, there's the other relationships that were revealed also. For instance, the Batsalya Ras. Throughout the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially in the beginning sections, you'll find how much Yashoda is glorified as the best of all devotees. How intense was her devotional service? How intense is the service of any mother? And this is an example for us here in the material world to see what most resembles selfless, spontaneous love. It's the love of a mother for the child. She can't leave the child in her mind or physically for even a moment. And she's always attentive, always thinking, her heart's drawn to the child. Father also sees the little shoes on the porch and then heart melts, thinks, oh, my daughter, you know. Or sees a picture, even though he's thousands of miles away, and thinks, oh, and melted. So these are the rasas that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach the world. And to say that I'm not so much attracted by awe and reverence. The reverent prayers by the brahmanas that are offered to me. These, of course, are pure vibrations, but they're a far cry from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, from the loving words of the devotees of Vrindavan, who have an intimate relationship with the Lord. Their hearts are drawn to him in these relationships as servitor, as an intimate friend, as a mother or father, or as a lover. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach, to reveal to the world. And he did so as a combination of Radha and Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Ramananda Roy revealed to the world through his intense loving service, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not remain as one entity, but he showed his form as Radha and Krishna. The more you look into Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the more you'll find Radha Krishna. The more you look into Radha Krishna, the more you'll find Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So as we enter into this chapter, we're hearing about the confidential reasons that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. The external reason he appeared was to teach the world. It was time anyway to teach the Yuga Dharma. But normally, an empowered living entity comes, or Gaur Narayan comes, and this is a normal duty to spread the Yuga Dharma at that time. But during this particular change of yugas, Krishna himself had his own burning desire. It was to spread the Yuga Dharma. Time came up anyway. He would do that anyway. And this is a glorious thing. But there were confidential reasons at the time. And that was, he was eager to taste for himself what it's like to be the lover. The one who's worshipping and not being worshipped. It's hard to be worshipped. Krishna doesn't like it so much. He wants to taste what kind of flavor the worshipper is getting. Because actually, as we'll hear in this chapter, the worshipper is experiencing more happiness. Krishna sees himself in a marble pillar when he's in Dwarka. And he thinks, who is that? Oh, I would love to embrace that person. He realized, oh, it's myself. I can't embrace myself. For these reasons, he sees in himself something that's so relishable, but he can't taste it because he's the very person. But he sees that Srimati Radharani, the topmost of all his devotees, is relishing this rasa, the highest of taste. And actually, she and her associates, in their loving service, selfless loving service to Krishna, enjoy 10 million times more than Krishna. And that just isn't right, because he's the supreme enjoyer. So he makes an arrangement to come and assume the position of the worshipper instead of the worshipped. So he comes as the combination of Radha and Krishna together. And he wants to taste the flavor of Radharani's love. He wants to feel what she feels when she sees him. And so this chapter, of course, is giving us a perspective into the outlook of Srimati Radharani and her loving service to Krishna. So we're continuing with the verses and purports from the Adi Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 4. We're up to text number 2728, the confidential reasons for the Lord's appearance. This text says, E Shuddha Bhakta Loi Karimu Abhatar Kariba Vibhavda Bidha Adbhuta Bihara Vaikunthadye Nahi Jeje Lilar Prachar Sheshi Lila Kariba Jate Mura Chamatkar. Taking these pure devotees with me, I shall descend and sport in various wonderful ways, unknown even in Vaikuntha. I shall broadcast such pastimes by which even I am amazed. Purport. Lord Krishna, in the form of Lord Chaitanya, educates his devotees to develop progressively to the stage of pure devotional service. Thus he appears periodically as a devotee to take part in various wonderful activities depicted in his sublime philosophy and teachings. There are innumerable Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual sky, and in all of them the Lord accepts the service rendered by his eternal devotees in a reverential mood. Therefore, Lord Sri Krishna presents his most confidential pastimes as he enjoys them in his transcendental realm. Such pastimes are so attractive that they attract even the Lord, and thus he relishes them in the form of Lord Chaitanya. Text number 29. The influence of Yoga Maya will inspire the gopis with the sentiment that I am their paramour. Purport. Could you look up paramour, please? Yoga Maya is the name of the internal potency that makes the Lord forget himself and become an object of love for his pure devotee in different transcendental mellows. This Yoga Maya potency creates a spiritual sentiment in the minds of the damsels of Russia by which they think of Lord Krishna as their paramour. Means? This... Oh, Mike.
So paramour is a noun which means a lover, especially the illicit partner of a married person. The origin is Middle English. From Old French, two words, par and amour, which means by love. In English, the phrase was written from an early date as one word and came to be treated as a noun. Paramour.
Thank you. This sentiment is never to be compared to mundane illicit sexual love. It has nothing to do with the sexual psychology, although the pure love of such devotees seems to be sexual. One should know for certain that nothing can exist in this cosmic manifestation that has no real counterpart in the spiritual field. All material manifestations are emanations of the transcendence. The erotic principles of amorous love reflected in mixed material values are perverted reflections of the reality of spirit. But one cannot understand the reality unless one is sufficiently educated in the spiritual science. This is a very important, there are several very important points here. One point is the fact that this material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. This comes up in the outset of the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where we hear, Urdva mulamada shakam ashvatam prahor avyayam jandamsi yasya parnani yastam veda savedavit adashjordvam prashritas tasya shaka guna pravrida vishaya pravala adashja mulan anushantatani karmanubandini manushaloke narupamasye hatato palabhyate nanto nachadir nachasam pratishta ashvatamenam suvarudamulam asanga shastrena dridhena chitva tatak padam tat parimargitavyam yasmin gatana nivartanti puya tameva chadyam purusham prapadye yatak pravriti prashita purani. Now, this is very important because Prabhupada mentions at the end of the 15th chapter that the dread disease of the heart that one must overcome in order to rise above the enslavement in matter is weakness of heart, otherwise known as WOH, or woe. this weakness of heart compels me to continually take shelter of matter again and again. And no matter what kind of arrangement I make, independently of developing my relationship with Krishna, I will not sustain. Yene ravindaksha vimuktamaninas toyasta bhavat avashuddha buddhaya aruya krishna paramparam tata patantyato nadrita yushmarangraya. The demigods praying to Lord Krishna within the womb confirm that unless one revives one's original relationship with Krishna, the lotus-eyed means he has a form, a face, he has qualities, he's lovable, he has pastimes, he's someone I can dream about, he's someone I can plan to please and work for. Unless one has that, all other kinds of endeavor which lead to so-called liberation are not permanent. One will fall down from those, no matter what it is. You may attain a position in this lifetime. You may get a bulletproof car. Get yourself a bulletproof car here. I saw one driving by. They stopped all the traffic because there was a motorcade coming by, and the police were leading. They stopped all the traffic, and then some dignitary, some big shot, was driving in a bulletproof car down the road, accompanied by all the police. Won't sustain. You'll see that person in the paper either next year or in 10 years from now. It's like, oh, he's kicked out. What a rascal he was. Everybody gets kicked out from their position no matter what they think they attained here in the material world. Aruya krishtrena paramparam tata patantyato nadrita yushmarangraya. All the hard work one puts in, if it doesn't have the relationship with the lotus-eyed Lord, is impermanent. You'll fall down from that position. There's no locus standi. You can't stay there. So the Srila Prabhupada says the cure for this weakness of heart, being attracted to matter over and over again, trying to find some position here, is the secret for that is in the first five verses of the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So there it's describing how you have to know the difference between reality and the reflection. And the first several verses we just quoted from that chapter describe the banyan tree, which is 180 degrees downward. The spiritual world is upward. That's the real tree, but the reflection is projected onto the lake-like existence of the Mahatattva, the material world. And just as you'll see a tree on a reflecting pool, it looks exactly like the tree. I've seen this in North Carolina. There's a park there, and I forget the name of it. It's a very beautiful park, which is owned by some very wealthy people, but they let all us commoners come and walk there. And there's a reflecting pool with a weeping willow, and you cannot tell the difference between the reflection and the tree. It's uncanny. And similarly, Krishna says, you can't tell the difference unless your eyes are trained in knowledge between the reality and the illusion. And he says, we're in a confused mess here in the material world, and the way to get out of it is asanga shastrena, jidhena chitva. He said, cut down your attachment to the material world. But how do you do that? By making a clear distinction between what is real and what is not. Bhagavad Gita, nasato vidite bhavo nabhavo vidite sata ubayor api drishton tas twanayos tattvadarshibi. Krishna says, those who are tattvadarshibi, those who see the truth, that's a good place to be. They know the difference between that which exists and that which doesn't exist. That which has real substance and that which is wispy. It's here today, gone tomorrow. You can't depend upon it. Don't build your house on a foundation of sand. It will wash away. So as one comes to know that, first of all, this material world is a reflection, and second of all, that means there's reality somewhere else. The problem with the Mayavad philosophy that's parsed out to the people of the world nowadays. People really don't know the teachings of Shankaracharya. They just hear fragments, and there's a lot of whimsical teachings passed around by so-called spiritual teachers who have no tradition or parampara. They just pick up little fragments of Mayavad philosophy and they poison people with it here, there, and everywhere, saying there, ultimately there is no God, you're God. There's schools of thought, like materialists, they say, work hard, you'll become the boss. There's schools of thought that say, ultimately there is no boss. Like in some sects of Buddhism, the idea is like, there's ultimately nothing. There's no God, and there's no you either. So once you realize that, you'll just merge into basically nothing. No boss. Materialist, I want to be the boss. Mayavadis say that you are the boss. You're all the boss. But only the devotees have the philosophy right where they say, Krishna's the boss. Ishavasyamidam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat. Tena tyak tena bunjita magradha kasasudanam. That's the safe position to understand that Krishna is the boss, I'm his eternal servant. And by understanding proper knowledge, and I was saying the danger of Mayavad philosophy is you say that the material world is not real, it's temporary, but then you fall into it because you've got nowhere else to go. You've got nowhere else to go. But the verses we quoted from the Bhagavad Gita say that dridhena chitva, cut it down, and then tatapadam tat parimargitavyam. Tat means that person, that spiritual world is there. The substance is there. So it says, now, parimargitavyam, you should make your journey. Make that journey to go to that original Supreme Personality of God. And how to do that? By following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he's teaching actually how to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And without that, one's lost in the mire of material existence, attracted again and again to the false forms of this material world, or takes the position that I'm God, and therefore one falls down from that position as well. The only safe position is given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through his disciplic succession. So, yes.
So, Maharaj, in the purport it says that one should know for certain that nothing can exist in this cosmic manifestation that has no real counterpart in the spiritual field. So, how do we understand some of the gory things that happen in the material world? The ghastly things, like murder.
Because there's ghastly things in the spiritual world, too.
Like murder and things like that.
Yeah, read the Krishna books, full of murder. the Shyamantaka jewel. There's nothing bloodier than the Ramayana. I've never heard of so much killing in my life. Billions of monkeys getting squashed by Kumbhakarna, guts coming out everywhere. The ghastly ras is an enjoyable ras. Krishna smashes demons, kills them, their guts come flying out, their heads are dislocated, it's cool. Everyone likes that stuff. I mean, what would life be without that, without the ghastly ras? So that's there, cataloged. You'll find it in the Nectar Devotion. The spiritual world is not a dull place. Everyone likes action. Action movies are tops everywhere in the world. Everyone's Krishna's doing that all the time. He comes out as a boar, comes out as the sacred pig, and kills this big demon with a club. Ultimately slaps him upside the head and kills him dead. So these things are there in Krishna. That's where they come from. He likes to play. He likes to fight. All this wrestling that's going on nowadays. There's Greco-American wrestling. There's MMA. There's the WWA. I don't know what I'm talking about, but there's lots of different things. These all come from Krishna wrestling with Mushtika and Chanura and Balaram. They invented all those holds, and so those things come from Krishna. That emanates from Krishna. Those are there. That rasa is there in the spiritual world. Just in the material world, it is it's perverted. Yes.
So we have to understand that it's not like a one-to-one correspondence. We have to see that rasa happening in some Krishna's lila like that. Right? Like, for example, there are plane crashes here. Like TWA flight went down. So will we have something like that in the spiritual world? Or...
Well, they're flower airplanes.
Yeah, so they fall down. How to understand?
So Parvati made the Chitraketu's plane She stopped it with her power and he had to come back down to the ground. I mean, everything happens in the spiritual world. It's not a stereotype place. And, you know, it's not linear. We don't try to line everything up with a ruler and say this to that and this to that. It's an unlimited realm. There's no boundaries there in the spiritual world. And there's no rules either. We're so used to, like, everything's got to fit into a certain thing. And as soon as I can get it to fit. See, measuring, the word maya, it not only means illusion, it also means to measure. Because my tendency is I want to capture everything by my intelligence. And the way I do it is I measure it. I say, okay, I got it now. I know how big it is. But if you tell the spiritual world is unlimited, then you're like, how? You know, like, I can't get that with my mind. That's the point. If you could circumscribe the Supreme Personality of God in a spiritual realm, it wouldn't be a God. It would be something else. He's inconceivable. So we can hear about these things in the revealed scriptures and the ways that Gopakumara goes to all the different realms. He sees the different ways that Krishna's pastimes are happening in the spiritual world, and they're not stereotyped either. There's various ways in which Krishna interacts with Kaliya. Sometimes he rides him like a horse, and different things like that. So, it's the rasa, the flavor, the relationship is there, and it's enacted in the material world. But here, by such rasas, we actually suffer, we experience degradation, but there's exaltation in the rasas there. Even in the ghastly rust. Like when Krishna kills somebody, person gets liberated. It's all good. Any other things? Yes. One, two, three.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Very nice example about the perverted reflection you were saying, like in the lake you can see exact reflection of the trees, so difficult to figure out. So I was just thinking of it same in the reflection in the material world. So it looks so real that without proper knowledge it's very difficult to distinguish. Yes. Between the spiritual reality and the spiritual material reality.
Very good point. And therefore, it's extremely important to be fortified with knowledge. Tachchadhana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pashyantya manichatmanam bhaktya shuta grihitaya. You have to have knowledge, detachment, and you also have to be thoughtful. These are the three fortifications mentioned by Suta Goswami at the beginning of the Bhagavatam in Divinity and the Divine Service. So the devotees are not without that. Bhaktis twayi stirataya bhagavan yadi syat. This is mentioned in Bilvamangal Thakur's verse. He says that Bhaktis twayi stirataya bhagavan yadi syat daivena na paliti divya kishora murti mukti swayam mukulitanjali sevitam. He says that liberation, because I'm engaged in Krishna's service, I'm approaching the form of Krishna, Shamasundar, that liberation and knowledge and dharma, artha, all these things, they're outside my door waiting to serve me. So when the devotees take to bhakti, they're not devoid of knowledge. They're also not devoid of detachment. It comes along with it, with the package. It comes along as free gift you get from practicing bhakti. Bhaktis twayis tirataya bhagavan yadi syat daivena na palati divya kishora muti mukti swayam mukulitanjali sevate sman dharmarta kama gataya samaya pratiksha. So, yes, you have to be fortified with knowledge, and therefore it's extremely important to study Bhagavad Gita. All devotees have to have a foundation in Bhagavad Gita. The Sahajya class of Vaishnavas, they take everything very cheaply. They don't study Shastra. They just saying, oh, it's all natural. Whatever happens, happens. Whatever I feel, that's how I worship Krishna. I'll do it my own way. But the teachings of the Goswamis, they're vital to us because there's a jungle of instructions out there. If you look at the Karma Mimamsas, they'll tell you that everything is dependent on performing ritualistic sacrifice, and that actually the soul does nothing at all. Everything's dependent on following the ritualistic section of the Vedas. If you listen to the Sankhyites, they'll say the soul isn't an agent. There's many different particles in the universe that interact in different ways, that create different circumstances, situations. You have no control over it. There are all the various philosophers, darshans, and it's a confusing jungle of sound. So one has to take shelter of the Mahajans. Mahajano yena katasa sapanta. One has to have shelter of the Goswamis. Like Jiva Goswami sorted all this out. We'll be hearing very soon from His Grace Radhika Raman Prabhu. He's coming again, the fourth coming of Radhika Raman Prabhu to ISV. And we hear about the ways in which Jiva Goswami in his Sandarbha has given this philosophical triumph by which he's distinguished reality from illusion for the welfare of all. He's shown how it is that worshiping Krishna, how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what is our epistemology, how we know what we know, and where is the perfect source of knowledge. And he sorts out all the various philosophies that are competing for our attention and which come out in fragmentary ways in this world which confuse us. And unless you have his direction, which you can get through reading all of Prabhupada's books, because it's all assimilated there, then you'll fall down from the path of devotional service. And Prabhupada says as much in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In a purport, he writes the verses about how if you eat healthy food like the stems of lotus flowers, you'll be very healthy and strong. But if you don't, then you become a weakling and fall sick. So similarly, Prabhupada writes, all the devotees in the International Society of Krishna Consciousness must read all of the books that have been published. All means all. And then he names them. He said, otherwise you'll take to eating, sleeping, and fall down. And take back the material conception of life. So it's vitally important to have knowledge. And how often do you have to have it? Every single day. Because the material onslaught is so oppressive that anyone, even a stalwart, who gives up the practice of hearing and chanting will become re-bewildered, if there is such a name, by the term, by the material energy. So you have to take it all the way to the finish line. You ever run track and field? Come on, you all ran track and field. They made you do it in PE, right, at least. Well, you always run past the finish line. You never like stop and like walk to the finish line, you know. You go past it. So this lifetime you have to see, it's important to go past the finish line. Don't stop. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, as you're watering the creeper of devotional service, even when the creeper grows out of the universe to the spiritual world and entwines itself at the lotus feet of Krishna, you still have to hear and chant. Otherwise the creeper will dry up. So you've made such an important point. We have to be fortified with knowledge. We have to hear Bhagavad Gita every day. You have to read at least a chapter a day of Bhagavad Gita. And you, by assimilating that knowledge, your intelligence becomes clear. And you're saved from so much trouble by mistaking illusion to be reality. And that's what everybody does in the material world. It's a huge fake out. Prabhupada calls it a colossal hoax. So poetical, Prabhupada's proclamations. The whole material world, blanket statement. What is it? Colossal hoax. The whole thing, colossal hoax. Look up the two words. It's so fascinating how Prabhupada puts these things together. I mean, you know, English is his second language, but he comes over and he puts out these sutras that are eternal, that anybody can take in their pocket and just bring out. It's like, okay, maybe this part's good. Prabhupada said, wet stool, dry stool. People pass stool out in the field, and then someone says, oh, well, that one's dried up. That's better than this one. It's stool is stool, Prabhupada would say. you know, let's be analytical and understand. That's what we're looking at here. Okay, give us the definition so we can be more precise.
Colossal is an adjective, extremely large. And
extremely
original. Yeah, origin is early 18th century from French, from colosse, and from Latin colossus. That's all it says.
Extremely large.
Extremely large. And hoax is a humorous or malicious deception.
Humorous or delicious? It's a deception.
Deception.
And it's huge.
Yeah.
And everybody's falling for it. Like, Vyasadeva says in the opening verse of Srimad Bhagavatam that even the devas, they're bewildered by it. Muhyanti yatsureha, muhyanti. Everyone's bewildered by this colossal hoax. Except those who read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise, you just fall for it. And it doesn't matter if you're a great learner. It doesn't matter how strong you are. It doesn't matter how you can have the highest IQ in the world. You still fall for it. Unless you have this fortification by practicing bhakti, especially by reading Bhagavad Gita. Yes. That was it?
Yeah. Okay. The origin is 18th century, and it's probably a contraction of hocus. And hocus means to deceive somebody.
Hocus.
Yeah.
H-O-C?
U-S.
Hocus pocus.
Yeah, hocus pocus.
There it is.
Yeah.
This is the whole material world. Hocus pocus. Yeah? Okay, we had a couple more. Thanks for bringing out that point. Very strong. Yes.
So on hocus pocus.
On hocus pocus.
I wanted just to give you the origin, that early 17th century from Hax, Pax, Max, Jus, Adimax.
That sounds like an incantation.
Which is used as a,
careful.
Yeah, it's used as a magical formula.
Magical formula. Okay, we'll memorize that afterwards. Okay, who is next? We had a couple more. Okay, Sundar. And then Vrinda.
So one related verse that came to my mind was Kama Yesha Krodha Yesha Rajoguna Samadbhava Mahashana Mahapatma Vidyayanam Hevayanam. In that verse, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about how when the living entity comes in contact with the material nature, then the love for God is transformed into lust.
Yes.
Which then transforms into wrath and so on.
Yes, and then he goes on to describe how the process of Krishna consciousness is transforming lust back into love. And he says even a latecomer can do this. So at any point, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process is so potent, that one who follows it very carefully, follow the simple path very carefully, can transform and begin to invest their energies in service to the Lord, and then become attached to serving the Lord, and become attached to hearing about the Lord, and then one transfers one's attention from the material things to the spiritual world, from material stories to stories about Krishna and the spiritual world, and one can regain one's spiritual health. And Vrinda Sevaka.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Krishna likes varieties, and there is no difference, there is varieties. So how he's enjoying different tastes, different relationships. So I understand that we should respect that, how everybody, every devotee, each devotee has their own relationships with Krishna and different tastes. And maybe we can understand, maybe not, but we should respect that.
Yes, and we see in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Anupam, who is the brother of Rupan Sanatan, which he came in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his brothers encouraged him, you should worship Krishna, take this Krishna mantra. He was attached to Ramachandra. So they initiated him, but then all night he stayed up and just worried and cried. And the next morning he said, I can't do it. I'm attached to Raghunath only. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, just see, this is his eternal taste for worshipping Raghunath. Same with Murari Gupta. And Mahaprabhu is encouraging everyone, bringing them up to the topmost potential and according to their particular taste and honoring those different tastes. At the same time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went everywhere and introduced the philosophy of Achinta Beda Beda Tattva and also the understanding of the highest rasa, Arajo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas Tadama Vrindavana Ramya Kachirupasana Vrajavudu Vargena Valkopita, as his tenets of his teachings that Krishna and his Dham are non-different and that the highest method of worshipping Krishna is that which was conceived by the gopis of Vrindavan. Ramya Kachirupasana Vrajavudu. Vrajavudu is the female, the maidens of Vraja. They had the best upasana, the best kind of worship, spontaneous love for Krishna, with no consideration of moral values or social norms, that they just ran to Krishna and worshiped Krishna. This is the mood of Srimati Radharani that's the pinnacle of the worship of the devotees in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in South India, he met Venkatapata, who is a follower of Sri Ramanuja. And there, in a very loving and joking way, he stayed there for months, and they enjoyed talking together. And he talked about, so he was asking Venkata, so you're worshipping Goddess of Fortune. She's the origin of your sampradaya. And how is it that she wanted to enter into the rasa dance? He was joking, kind of. It's like, why did she want to enter into the rasa dance? Because there's a taste there, the high taste of that unceremonious love that's not there in Vaikuntha. And so Mahaprabhu would introduce these tenets of worship that are mentioned in this chapter wherever he went to those who had the qualification to hear them. It's not that when somebody at the MIT finishes an experiment, they go out to the hot dog stand to show the guy, here, look at my paper, what do you think? And he's like, what is it? Can I burn it? They don't, you know, you take it to people who can appreciate it. And so the to those who have some qualification to hear Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Vyankata Bhatta, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the greatest scholar in India, still mentioned if you look him up. As he went to Navadvip, the seat of learning, those books were so rare and precious. Now we distribute books all over the world, but they wouldn't let them leave that place. They were so rarefied. He went there and just memorized them all and then went back to his place in Puri, the greatest scholar in the world. But he was smitten with love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after he heard his philosophy. Actually, Mahaprabhu converted him just by saying nothing. He was just his gentle nature and his humility. He just sat there and listened to Sarvabhauma for 7 days and seven nights without saying a word. But then he did speak, and then Sarvabhauma could tell this is God speaking. Nobody else can do this. Natchari Ar Marman, Natchari Ar Marman, Natchari Ar Marman, Natchari Ar Marman, hey! Natchari Ar Marman, Natchari Ar Marman, Natchari Ar Marman, Natchari Ar Marman.